Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN listener-supported community radio. Tonight we present another installment of The Search for Truth, Tanner Hyde's radio show which explores unusual phenomena like the truth about Bigfoot.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tanner Hyde, and this is The Search for Truth, a show in which we focus on the legendary mysteries of the forests. This week, we're taking calls from listeners about their firsthand glimpses of Sasquatch, the legendary elusive denizen of the North Woods. Let's see what's in store for us tonight. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I just tuned in and heard you and other callers talking about Sasquatch, who some of us call Bigfoot.
Yes, he's called by both names.
Has anyone talked about their eating habits?
Well, I would guess they eat acorns, wild berries. Wait a minute. You say their eating habits.
Well, yes.
Are you implying that there is more than one Sasquatch?
Well, of course. There has to be at least one family, because they've been here for generations, and we've come close to seeing them.
A Sasquatch family.
Right. For several years, our own family has been not exactly meeting with them, but interacting with them.
Caller, how on earth did this come about?
Every summer, even other times of the year when the weather's nice, we like to go camping up in the mountains. The campsite we like best is on BLM land. It isn't a long ways off the highway. There aren't usually other campers, and it's really nice to get away whenever we can to be with nature and the birds and the deer.
And with Sasquatch.
Eventually, yes, in a way. We would occasionally hear a shrieking sound off in the distance, and we eventually started to realize we weren't alone in the woods. We had the feeling that someone or something was observing us at our regular campsite. Sometimes we'd think we saw something watching us from the shadows. But it wasn't a scary feeling, exactly. There was no sense of animosity. It was kind of a gentle feeling.
It's fascinating.
Then one day, our whole family went fishing. And when we came back to our campsite late in the day, well, it was obvious that something had been in our tents. Some of our food was gone. We'd planned on having a chocolate pie with dinner, and the pie was gone, right out of the ice chest. But here's the funny part. The wrapper was removed, and the empty pie tray was put back in the box. And even some of our children's toys were gone. Action figures, a gyroscope, a picture book, and even a teddy bear. We talked about it and couldn't figure out why anyone or anything would take food, toys, and a picture book. It had to be for a family.
Well, that makes sense. But you didn't actually interact directly with Sasquatch.
Meet with them? No, not yet. But we have dropped off some more food and small toys for the family. And I'd like to know what they naturally eat so we don't leave anything that would be bad for their health.
Well, I don't know their feeding habits, but I see this as a good time for us to do some field work. Caller, would you please stay on the line and leave the details as to where this rendezvous took place with my staff? And we will personally try to make direct contact with this Sasquatch family. Possibly with food as bait.
All right. Just don't hurt them.
We wouldn't dream of hurting them.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye, caller. And thank you for your invaluable information. This news begs for direct investigation. Charlie, would you please come in here for a moment?
Sure, Mr. Hyde.
Charlie, you don't need to be so formal. It's just Tanner.
Okay, Tanner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie is our station engineer, who is a man without fear. Who else would dare to drive up on a lonely mountaintop radio antenna site on a winter night to work on a 50,000-watt transmitter all alone? Charlie does this type of work all the time. He's one of a kind.
Thank you for them kind words, Tanner.
Well, Charlie, it's more than you deserve. I mean, it's no more than you deserve. Would you be willing to fly our newscopter to this location our caller just described to investigate?
I guess so, Tanner. I'll get paid for it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we can work something out.
Well, sure.
And I'll have our staff phone in for a pizza you can pick up along the way as an offering to the Sasquatch family.
What kind of pizza are you going to get?
I don't know. What kind would you suggest?
Well, the biggest guy I know is my brother-in-law, Lester. He seems kind of like Bigfoot, all big and hairy. He prefers pepperoni.
All right, pepperoni it is.
And bacon?
Yes, Charlie, with bacon. Next caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Tanner. I just thought I'd tell you about something that happened to me way back in the late 40s, maybe the early 50s. I used to drive a truck for a living. Sometimes I'd haul logs out of the timberlands that used to be in and around the Ozarks. One night I was on Highway 3 in Oklahoma, heading towards Ada from Little Rock, Arkansas, heading northwest.
Okay.
Well, that night it was cold, and it was raining hard in this woodsy stretch of road, when all of a sudden I see standing in the middle of the highway a great big man or something. Well, I slammed on my brakes because I didn't want to smash my rig on this thing. Hitting that thing in the road, it would have dented me all up, and it wasn't all paid off yet. So as soon as I came to a stop, this great big reddish critter, about 8 feet tall, bolts from in front of my truck to the passenger side. I didn't know what to do. He didn't seem to know how to open the door, so I opened it for him. Well, this thing squeezed in, sat down, looked at me, and then made a motion with his hand, pushing forward like, "Okay, let's go." I could hardly believe it.
This creature climbed into your truck cab?
Well, yeah. It was raining too hard for me to leave him there. I wouldn't leave a dog out in weather like that. And he smelled like a wet dog, only worse. Stunk like all get out, and he was all covered with fur, no clothes, with yellow eyes. He didn't say a word. I didn't know if he might be hungry, so I handed him a sandwich my wife made for me before I set off, and he ate it almost one bite. Would you believe I gave that critter a ride all the way to Utah?
Astounding.
Yeah. He rode with me all night and all the next day. Well, I was approaching what's now the I-84 turnoff near Salt Lake with my turn signal on, fixing to cut south to Los Angeles, when this big fella gestured, kind of like pointing off to the side of the road to the northwest. I thought maybe he wanted me to stop, so I slowed down, and before I even came to a stop, he opened the door and jumped out, took off running away from the road like he seemed to know where he wanted to go, heading north. Towards, I don't know, Idaho or Oregon, maybe? Well, years later, after I heard stories about this Bigfoot, I remembered this strange critter.
And why do you think he wandered out of your truck at that spot?
Well, I wondered about that a lot. And, you know, at that time, the timber industry in Arkansas was shutting down, running out of big trees, and the loggers was all heading west to the Sierras and the Cascades and the Trinities, where there's still plenty of big trees, so they could keep on cutting timber there. You know, maybe this Bigfoot fella sensed that his forest was being destroyed, what they call destruction of habitat now, and somehow he knew that was where he should head to. Maybe he even had kin in these parts. So I just hope he had a safe trip. He seemed like a nice fella, though he didn't say nary a word the whole trip.
I am speechless. Almost. I have never heard of a Bigfoot thumbing a ride.
Well, this one did. And now I hear these critters are spotted all over the world. They got some called Sasquatch, and even in the Himalayas, they have one called the Yeki.
Yes, the Yeti.
Tanner, maybe with your connections, you could figure out how to get to a Bigfoot family reunion. I'll bet that would make a great show. I mean, they seem like such nice critters.
Yes, well, caller, I'll keep my ears open for any announcements about any event like that happening. Thank you. Okay, back more calls. Here's another call. Hello, you're on the air with Tanner Hyde.
Hey, Tanner, it's Charlie. I'm at the spot where that lady leaves food for Bigfoot.
Yes, what's it like out there, Charlie?
Well, I've been hearing some kind of spooky sounds from the woods here. And even shrieks that don't sound like any animal I've ever heard before. And they don't sound human.
Amazing. Are you a little nervous?
Yeah. I'm getting a little nervous. I'll admit. And the sound of leaves rustling in the forest are getting louder. Maybe Bigfoot is approaching. It might be trying to scare me off so that they can snarf this pepperoni pizza in private.
Go on.
I keep hearing sounds in the bushes, and it's only a few yards away. I'm ready to run, if it shows any signs of hostility. Otherwise, I'll continue to tell you my thoughts. I'll put this on speakerphone so you can hear what's going on. Hey, Sasquatch, or Bigfoot, whatever your name is, are you there?
Hey, man, I'm right here. You don't have to yell. Jeez.
You speak English?
Well, yeah. A little Spanish, too.
Wow. Can you come out of the bushes, slowly, so I can see you?
Okay. Hey, can I bum a hunk of that pizza? It looks like more than you can eat by yourself.
But you look like a man.
Yeah. Last time I checked.
Well, here, talk to Tanner.
I'm Tanner Hyde, investigative radio host. We're told that Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, lives around here somewhere.
Yeah, I do. I'm Bigfoot, Billy Bigfoot.
Your name is Billy Bigfoot?
Well, that's my Earth first name. We all have aliases. That's mine. 'Cause I have big feet. How about some of that pizza?
I am not believing this. Ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, I'm astounded. Charlie, what do you see?
This man, a very large man, Mr. Bigfoot, is standing right here in front of me, Tanner. He looks like he's spent his whole life in the forest. He's covered in grime. He smells. Let's just say the smell reminds me of my old football team's locker room in high school. He's barefoot, bearded, with long red hair. It would have to be called dreadlocks because they're all snarly.
Well, you would be too, man, if you hadn't had a shower in like 2 years.
2 years? Well, what are you doing there? Why do you live like an animal in the middle of the wilderness?
Well, see, back then I was living up in this redwood.
Living in a redwood? A redwood tree?
Yeah, about 100 feet up, trying to keep it from being cut down. That's what we do.
We? There's more of you?
Earth first. I'm with Earth first. We try to protect old-growth redwoods from being cut down and made into boards. And so I'd been up in this tree for about a year.
A year?
If that's how long it takes.
I see. Well, I don't see, but continue.
Yeah, so one night about midnight, these loggers came sneaking up when I was asleep and my ground crew wasn't around to help. They just started sawing this 1,000-year-old redwood that I was living with. They cut it down, man. I just sat up there and waited until the last minute when the tree was almost sawn through. Then they said they were putting their jack into the notch they'd cut and they were going to topple the whole thing over. They gave me 10 seconds to start climbing down. What can I do? Well, so I came down and they dropped the tree. I was crying and I could see that they were feeling sorry for me. That tree was my home. Well, they weren't crying, though. They were just doing their job. So anyway, I was kind of ashamed that I didn't go down with my tree, you know, like a sea captain who's supposed to go down with his ship. I felt like I was letting my buddies down by not being a martyr for the cause. I didn't want to face them. So I just stayed in the woods.
This is incredible. Somewhat disappointing, though. Some people, a family, told me that they were leaving food for Sasquatch here.
And I appreciate it. Usually I have to raid dumpsters and garbage cans for leftovers that tourists leave. Well, sometimes I catch steelhead or trout or else boiled down acorns, but they aren't very tasty, to put it mildly. Dude, that pizza's got to be getting cold by now.
Have at it.
And the action figures and gyroscope?
Well, it gets awful boring out here in the woods. I got to do something.
And where do you live?
Well, at first, I just slept under a tent I made from a tarp that had been over me and my tree. Then I ran across a big old redwood that was burned out in the center. So I gathered a bunch of tree limbs and made sort of a teepee against the tree. Then I covered it with a tarp and smaller branches with leaves. It's kind of cozy.
You know, I'd be willing to bet that you could go back to civilization now. I think your buddies would forgive you for not falling to death with your tree.
Well, you think so?
Yes, I do. And you are Bigfoot. Sasquatch.
Yeah, Bigfoot at least. I haven't seen any Sasquatches around here lately.
Lately? Do you mean you've seen Sasquatch in the past?
Oh, sure. I even taught him how to smoke pot.
He smokes marijuana?
Well, we used to.
How did you get the marijuana?
From my ground crew, other Earth Firsters. They bring me food and drinks and stuff. Then after I came down, I took one of the starter plants they'd given me and planted it. Well, it came out pretty good.
And did it change his behavior?
Well, yeah. When I first ran into him, he acted all ferocious, trying to scare me off. But I happened to be sitting down smoking a bowl at the time. Since I was sitting down too wrecked to be scared, he realized there wasn't any point in trying to scare me. He was just curious. He watched me and I took real big tokes so he could see what it was all about. Then I gave him a big smile, showed him that I liked it. Then I refilled my pipe and handed it to him. He caught on real quick. Well, we smoked a few bowls until he got a buzz. His yellow eyes got all red. It was pretty clear he liked it. He got all mellow, then sat down next to me and just started looking around at my camp. And he started to laugh or something. Laughed and laughed and laughed. Then he looked at me, laughed some more. And later I showed him how to build a shelter for himself and his family to keep dry. You know, I think he was pretty smart for a monster.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bigfoot. This has been very interesting.
Hey, bro, you think you could give me a lift back into town? I haven't been in a copter since we left NAMM.
I'm cool with that. Tanner, think that'd be okay?
Cool. It's about harvest time, so I could probably get a gig manicuring buds.
Sure, whatever. Wait, you were in Vietnam?
Well, yeah. I was really gung-ho about it.
Well, at least you made it back in one piece.
Barely. I think I lost some pieces of me there after I got shot.
Oh, you were wounded?
Fragged.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, I was shot, actually, by one of the guys in my platoon. I was a Marine sergeant, a real mean bastard, and the guys hated me till, well, one of my own men shot me in the head. I was in the hospital for months. Then when I got back to the front, I just wasn't into it anymore. Yeah, after that killing just didn't make sense to me. That's when I started getting high. They had some dynamite stuff there. We bought it from the Viet Cong.
This is Tanner Hyde, along with Charlie, who is deep in the heart of the old-growth forest.
This the Tanner Hyde Show?
Yes, sir. You are on the air.
That show where a person can call in about Sasquatch?
Yes, sir. That's our show, Tanner Hyde and the Search for Truth.
And not get laughed at, right?
Nope. Won't happen here, friend.
Promise?
How about we just get to your story? It sounds like you're sitting on a real doozy.
Sitting on a whatty?
A good story. I get the feeling we're in for something, well, highly unusual.
You are. My name's Will. Will Haskins. And I have a story that I'm afraid you won't believe.
Well, let's just see. Will, you've got our full attention. Take it away. Tell us your story.
Sorry. This isn't easy as I thought.
Trust me, I understand. Take a deep breath now. Relax. You're among friends. Will, you still there? I'll tell you what. Whatever it is you have to share, maybe you're just not quite there yet. Not quite ready. How about you call back when...
No! I'm gonna do this, Tanner. I have to.
Fair enough. Folks, let's give Will a moment to collect himself. Maybe I can help you out there, Will. Have you actually seen a Bigfoot?
I most definitely have.
Good, good, very good. And where did the encounter take place?
Here, right here, Tanner.
Where's here? Tell us where you are, Will.
In my house. In my room. Well, the bathroom, actually.
Stop. You didn't say you found Bigfoot in the bathroom of your home.
Tanner, I know how crazy it sounds, but, well, I'm pretty sure I'm looking at him right now. He's staring back at me from the mirror.
Well, how about we take ourselves a little station break?
Don't! Please! Tanner, you've got to listen to me. I think I'm Bigfoot.
You think you are Bigfoot?
Yes! I'm sure of it.
I'm afraid you need help, Will. Professional help. I can give you a number.
I do need help. Your help. That's why I called. You got to hear me out.
Mom said there'd be days like this. Okay, Will. Sure, why not? Now, why do you think you're Bigfoot? Ah, heck, why stop there? Tell us what it's like being Sasquatch. This ought to be entertaining.
Not if you're going to make fun of me.
Fair enough. But, Will, the search for truth is a serious show. I can't guarantee I won't cut you off if things get totally ridiculous.
Promise.
Deal. Now, tell us why you think you're Bigfoot.
It all started with the COVID pandemic back in March of last year. I read in the paper how they were going to pay people to try out some new vaccine. Trials, they called them. $500 for getting 2 shots over a 2-month period. Well, seemed like easy money, so I signed up. You still with me, Tanner?
I'm hanging in there, Will.
Some of us were to get the placebos, some the real thing.
I know all about it. I almost signed up myself. But Will, come on, it's time we cut to the chase. Our audience is dying to hear why you believe you are Bigfoot.
Because when I look in the mirror, that's what I see.
And describe for us what you see.
Hair. Long reddish hair. I got it all over my body. I've grown over 1 foot in 6 months. I can lift the refrigerator with one arm. Cooked meat disgusts me. I hardly recognize my face.
You know something? This is getting fairly interesting. Will, you say it was the vaccine?
What else could it be?
Your imagination? I mean, this story of yours is, well, it's frankly off the charts unusual.
I can't even go outside. Someone will lock me up or shoot me. I'm scared, Tanner. I just want it to end.
Now, you do know that thousands of people have taken the vaccines, and all but a few are doing fine. This trial you were part of, was it Pfizer or Moderna?
Neither. The vaccine was produced by GRE, Global Reach Enterprises.
Global Reach, never heard of it.
I hadn't either, but it sounded legit, and they were paying good money.
So you got a shot from some obscure pharmaceutical company.
It was a mistake, I know. I should have done some more research before I volunteered.
Well, what have you been able to find out?
Nothing. They made sure of that. My internet's been on the fritz since the first shot. I can't find out anything, Tanner. I need your help.
Say this is all true, the whole enchilada. You're housebound. Some mysterious company out there is using you for, well, for what? Some bizarre experiment? Why? And how are you surviving if you can't go outside? You need food. You have bills to pay.
Remember when I said they would give me $500 to do the trial? More like $50,000. The checks keep coming. Always in envelopes with no return address. Food, too. Boxes come to the door twice a week.
Whoa. I don't know what to say, Will. I've been doing this a long time. Long enough to know when a caller isn't being truthful. I get plenty of those calls. This feels different. Very different.
Oh, you believe me?
Well, let's say I'm leaning that way. And I think I may be able to help.
Thank God.
We have a computer here in the studio. Well, let's see what we can learn about who or what Global Reach is. If you just happen to be tuning into our show, let me fill you in on what we are up to this evening. We have on the line a Mr. Will Haskins, who has a most interesting, indeed frightening, tale to share. Will was a volunteer in one of those COVID vaccine trials. Easy money, right? Well, ever since the trial, he says his body has undergone radical changes. He's incredibly strong, has grown 1 foot taller, and now has long reddish hair all over his body. Well, if he's not Bigfoot, he might as well be. The weird thing is, no one's heard of a vaccine trial conducted by a company called Global Reach Enterprises. Sorry, Will, no Global Reach Enterprises. Closest thing I can find is a Global Reach Incorporated with offices in Dubai, Singapore, and Bangkok. Nothing here about a COVID trial, no mention of pharmaceuticals. Let's see. It says, we are a visionary company exploring cutting-edge technologies that will shape this world in the near future. Our work in genetics has already caught the attention of countries around the world looking to enhance their military assets.
Military assets? Genetics? You think they're cloning soldiers?
Jeez, let's hope not. Can you imagine?
Tanner! Tanner! Someone's pounding on my door!
I hear it, Will. Will, I think you need to get out of there.
They're trying to break in!
Get out of there, Will. You have to get out now!
Hello?
Hello, where's Will? Mind putting him back on?
I'm afraid you're mistaken. There's no Will here.
What's going on, lady? I was just talking to him. Yeah, he's there. He has to be.
I repeat, No one by the name of Will resides here. Now, I would appreciate it if you would kindly hang up and not call this number again.
What did you do to him?
Not a thing. I've done nothing to anyone.
You might want to choose your words very carefully, ma'am. You are on the radio. This is the Tanner Hyde Search for Truth radio talk show. We know about global reach.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Wait, did you say radio? He called a radio station this time?
This time?
Tanner Hyde, is it? Well, Mr. Hyde, let me explain what's going on.
Please do. And since you're on the air, maybe start by telling us who you are.
I am the mother of the man who has apparently called into your show.
The mother? Hold on. You're not connected with a company called Global Reach Enterprises?
Global what? No, I am the mother of a young man who, well, along with being quite brilliant, has some serious problems. When he doesn't take his medications, he likes to get on the phone. It's a game he plays.
A game? You're asking me and our listeners to believe this all came out of his head? The whole thing about participating in a COVID vaccine trial and morphing into Bigfoot?
Thinks he's Bigfoot because of a COVID vaccine? That is priceless. Don't tell me you fell for it.
I'm not so sure he was lying to us.
Oh, he can be convincing. You know, last month I found him on the phone to a newspaper in Nevada. For a while there, he had them convinced he was a top-secret government scientist at Area 51. He told the paper one of the aliens had broken out of its enclosure. They should be on the lookout for a nocturnal eight-legged creature drawn to bright lights. Last seen headed toward Las Vegas. What an imagination. If I could only get him to write this stuff down.
Sorry if I don't buy it. How about you explain the banging on the door and the loud scuffle when you came in? I heard it all, plain as day.
What you heard was pre-recorded. He's got a whole library of sound effects. With the press of a button, he can create any background he wants to. He's quite resourceful.
Any chance I could talk to him?
No, don't even ask. He's done talking.
If you want me to believe you, put Will, or whoever he is, back on the phone.
He wouldn't come near the phone if I begged him to. He's had his fun for the day. You won't be hearing from him again.
Rather convenient, I'd say. Will can't or won't come to the phone to explain a few things. We're left to wonder.
Yes, I know how it sounds. And I'm sorry if you and your listeners feel disappointed. It's not the first time I've had to apologize.
Just give us a little something to prove Will's okay.
Mr. Hyde, if you have no more questions, I believe we're done here. I'm going to say goodbye.
I do have one more question. Actually, I have a lot of questions. I don't know about all of you, but this has been one of those calls that stretch the boundaries of imagination. The question is what to believe. Only Will can clear that up. Well, it looks like our time's up for the evening. You've been listening to Tanner Hyde's Search for Truth. Until next week, stay safe, get that vaccination, and never, ever compromise in your quest to know the truth. And finally, Will, if you're out there listening, and I suspect you are, how about giving us another call? I know there's more to this story.
You have been listening to another installment of The Search for Truth with Tanner Hyde, written by Jim Dowling and Lily Dubois, and directed by Kim Mobley. Our cast included John Welsh as Tanner Hyde, Jim Dowling as Billy Bigfoot, Jeremy Cummings as Will and Charlie, Linda Reagan as Will's mother, and Lily Dubois as the nanogenarian. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. I am your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater. KKRN Community Radio is a listener-supported, all-volunteer station. We rely on donations from our listeners, and especially during this pandemic when we cannot hold our several yearly fundraising events. Please consider a donation at this time to help keep our great programming on the air, deal with the kind of technical difficulties we had last month, and generally make it possible to meet all of our expenses. Go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button, or if you prefer, send a check to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084.